You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. This is SBS On The Money. On this Thursday, the 3rd of September 2020, it is your 10-minute daily business and finance news wrap. The Australian share market rose today by 0.81% on the S&P ASX 200 to close at 6,112 points. That was thanks to Australia banking sector. ANZ was the best of the banks, up by 1.8%. AMP continued to climb, adding 2.8% as it investigates a possible breakup. BHP lost more than 2%, although it did trade ex-dividend. And Myer did well, up 17% on a deal with Amazon for some of its stores to contain collection hubs for Amazon online purchases. Now, for more, including his detailed thoughts on the buy now, pay later space and some surprising commentary on the Australian dollar, I spoke earlier with Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics. Mathan, a good day for local stocks. Why?
The market continues to be separated from economic reality. I guess you've got investors looking at a lot of handouts coming from the government, and the media is telling you that's endless and it'll keep coming as long as the economy is struggling. So people don't see the downside risk. So there's plenty of money going straight into the market and people just don't understand the risk.
Can we talk about AMP, a possible breakup of this iconic 171 Australian year old brand? It might be on the cards. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, it's one of the great brands being destroyed, you know, over a number of years. I think it's the worst thing they did was listing. I actually thought someone like a Magellan and Macquarie, one of those guys, should have taken it over because they have the brand. They can clean it up. They've already got the infrastructure. They can really cut the cost and keep that going. But I think it's just too tough for them. They don't need the pain. Look, inevitably, I think AMP needs to be sold. It needs to be cleaned up by a completely different management. I think the damage has been done too far. Look, it's too hard as an investment to look at because I don't think management knows where they're going to end up. And when you're trying to value something, if they don't know where they're going to be, it's hard for you to work out what the value should be.
Keen to get your thoughts on buy now, pay later. Shares are starting to come off their record highs that we've seen recently. PayPal is launching its own type of buy now, pay later service in the US. And now we've heard from a Senate inquiry handing down an interim report on the sector. What's your take?
Yeah, I don't really have a high hope that the Senate's going to do much at all. There'll be a lot of talk, but nothing much from it. Governments always let the techs get away with too much. I mean, if you think of Airbnb compared to the hospitals, hotels, if you look at Uber compared to taxis, they get away with almost no regulation and basically no tax. So it's not a comparable business models. The techs have a huge advantage. Afterpay is the same. If you look at the buy now, pay later category, all of those guys are offering you credit to people that can't get credit cards, but it's in a glorified way. So should the government regulate it? They should. But are they going to do it in a recession when you've got tough times and they want to forward bring purchases? Probably not. So that's a get out of jail free card. And you got to remember, Afterpay hired a regulatory executive to come across to their board. So that wasn't done to make things easier. That's there to hide the regulation. So that was well done for them. But the biggest problem is what's happening with PayPal. These guys are the biggest gorilla there. They're 29 times the Afterpay consumers globally. These guys are massive and they're coming for this cheap money. And I'd expect the banks and other big fintechs to follow. So competition is coming. Margins are going to decline. So I think the multiples have peaked.
And the Australian dollar, it's been surging lately. Finally, we heard from the Reserve Bank earlier this week after months of not referring to the Australian dollar. It said, yep, it is strong because of a weaker US. Where do you see the dollar going?
Yeah, they tried to ignore it. It didn't go away. Look, the US dollar is at early stage of their declining cycle. I think the US budget is expected to be around $3.3 trillion loss next year. So these kind of outlooks and negative yield outlooks are going to bring down the US dollar. That's why Warren Buffett started to buy gold stocks and he's gone into Japanese yen traders because he wants the yen exposure. So when the US dollar falls, everyone else goes up. And that's what's going to happen to Aussie dollar. I think you can almost be guaranteed that we're going to hit somewhere near the 80 cents. But I think the big question is, if it goes past that, if the US has real weakness, which I think is very likely going into an election cycle, then we're going to be running really fast towards parity. And I don't think that's far off. And we could be doing that within the next 2 to 3 months before the end of the year. So, you know, you look at the US election, things could happen very quickly.
Said the word parity there, Nathan Somasundaram there from Deep Data Analytics. Well, let's turn our focus now to the economy. And a day after confirmation that Australia entered a recession with that 7% contraction in quarterly GDP, today Australia's trade surplus has sharply narrowed in July to $4.6 billion in a sign domestic demand, especially for international goods, is starting to recover. Exports fell 4% with a sharp fall in meat, cereal and grain exports, as well as coal and iron ore. Imports lifted 7%, driven by a 90% lift in car imports. Now, that sector, though, has endured its worst August sales result in 23 years. The Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries says nearly 61,000 new vehicles were sold last month, but that is down 29% on the same time last year. And Victoria saw a 66% decline, obviously amid that stage four restrictions. So for more about the industry and whether now is a good time to buy a car, I spoke with the chief executive of the FCAI, Tony Webber. Tony, how would you describe the state of the car market right now?
The car market's incredibly challenging in Australia. Last month, we had sales were down almost 29% across the country, and it is the 29th negative month of sales that we've experienced.
Of the cars being sold, is there a bit of a trend?
There is a trend. SUVs continue to grow, and SUVs now account for around 53% of all sales, which in historic terms is incredible. The other change we're seeing is the growth in low emission vehicles, and this is driven mainly by hybrids, which year to date are up by some 98%.
Yesterday, we had official data saying that we are in a recession. What typically happens to car sales in this period?
Well, it's been so long since this country's been in a recession, it's hard to remember. But typically what happens, and there's a worldwide issue here on this occasion because of COVID-19, you see the production will continue in factories around the world and there'll be a supply. So it is a great opportunity for consumers who are in a position to buy, to go out and actually purchase a vehicle because there still is a supply of vehicles around the world that need to go into markets.
And Victorian sales are down 66%. What would you like to happen here? And how can you keep staff and customers, though, COVID safe?
Well, we obviously want to work with the Victorian government to help in the entirety of the supply chain so that we can take vehicles and parts off the ports, through our warehousing and transport and logistics systems, into showrooms, keeping people safe at all levels, including the end customer, and delivering cars to the market, because there obviously is demand for new vehicles in Victoria like every other state across the country.
Tony Webber there, the chief executive of the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. And speaking of Victoria, Victorians have been tapping away at their keyboards or their screens to make online purchases. And that should be no surprise given the recent lockdowns. The NAB Online Retail Sales Index rose 6.7% in July to be more than 62% higher than the same time last year. And NAB estimates Australians have spent $37.4 billion in online retail, and that's up 29% on the previous year. What are Aussies buying? Well, here's NAB senior economist Brian McDonald. Brian, to what extent are consumers shopping online?
Well, Ricardo, what we're seeing in our latest online retail report is that consumers are spending above 11% of all retail online. And so we're seeing really strong growth, I suppose, not unexpectedly in places like Victoria, where there's been, you know, a lockdown since the start of August, some really strong growth there. Consumers are really spending a lot in areas like homewares and appliances. That's a really large share. It's about a quarter of all online spend. So consumers are really spending strongly there. They're also spending in areas which you'd think aren't really traditionally sort of online areas, and things like games and toys. One of the other ones that we're seeing that has outperformed, say, over the last year has been purchases of grocery and liquor.
That is SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 3rd of September 2020. You can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo.